Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, Taiwanese company opens second indoor baseball fun park in U.S. at Mesa Riverview. Taroko Sports, a flagship brand of Taroko USA, opened a nearly 18,000-square-foot indoor sports complex on July 25. The Mesa location marks the second in the nation following its debut in Texas. Taroko USA is a subsidiary of TRK Corporation, one of the largest entertainment groups in Taiwan. The venue includes a dynamic blend of sports, gaming, and social entertainment, according to the company's announcement of the grand opening. The batting cages are a reimagined experience that offers real-time feedback and gamified scoring to make baseball accessible for people at all skill levels, the company said in its announcement. The baseball-focused venue also features a pitching mound where players can practice their throws and compete against friends. The Mesa location has a slew of other attractions, including mini bowling, electronic darts, 5D racing simulators, and arcade classics, among others. Taroko Sports includes a casual food and beverage area offering pizzas, wings, fries, and more. The venue will eventually add a bar serving bottled beer and wine, the news release stated. It will have over 102 seats and 12 large screen TVs, with 8 dedicated to live sports for guests. Taroko Sports Mesa will be open Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to midnight and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to midnight. The company said it will open its second location in Arizona in Chandler later this year. And that story was Taiwanese company opens second indoor baseball fun park in U.S. at Mesa Riverview. The next story, barbecue and a community event set for fall in Apache Junction. Join fellow patriots for an evening of family values and community pride at the Barbie Q&A community event in November hosted by Ken Taylor and Barbie Ingle Taylor, 2026 Republican candidate for Arizona House Legislative District 7. It's free to attend the 3 to 9 p.m. Sunday, November 16 event at 4980 North Ironwood Drive in Apache Junction. RSVP at https://barbecue2025.eventbrite.com/. This all-American gathering features special guests, live music from the Cul-de-Sac Cowboys, a hearty food truck, yard games for the whole family, and a traditional s'mores station to bring us together. Head on over November 16 with easy parking near Moon Vista Street and Ironwood Drive, and let's make it a community party to remember, rooted in faith and freedom, a release states. Barbie Q&A community event is more than entertainment. It's a celebration of heart and hope reflecting the strong values of Pinal County. This event is proudly supported by Barbie Ingle for Arizona, advocating for health care reform and conservative principles, it states. For sponsorships, donations, or details, contact Barbie Ingle at 480-760-1197 or barbie@barbieingle.com. And that story was Barbie Q&A community event set for fall in Apache Junction. The next story, political newcomer aims to unseat Mesa council member in recall election. Councilmember Julie Spilsbury, who faces a recall election in November, will square off against a challenger after a Mesa resident filed paperwork to get her name on the ballot. Doreen Taylor, 41, submitted paperwork to the city on July 10, 2 days after the city council officially set the date for the special election. Taylor has until September 5 to gather 246 signatures to have her name placed on the ballot. To date, Taylor is the only person to file a notice of interest to run against Spilsbury. She told the Republic in an email, she's running for office because she doesn't think Spilsbury cares about her constituents based on her talk versus her actions. She said it was not representative, nonpartisan leadership. Taylor's candidacy has received support from Joanne Robbins, the resident who initially filed the recall petition with the city clerk's office on January 30. Voters of District 2, which encompasses parts of Central and East Mesa, will decide to retain Spilsbury or replace her with Taylor in a mail-in ballot election that will take place on November 4. The candidate who receives the most votes will be seated the day after the results are canvassed. Robbins, in her petition, stated the grounds to recall Spilsbury involved a trio of yes votes, including raising utility rates, approving the transition of a hotel into a homeless housing program, and increasing council salaries. Two of those votes took place prior to Spilsbury's re-election in August, which she won with 65% of the vote in her district. The real crux of the outrage against Spilsbury was her endorsement of Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris in the presidential election in November. The discussion surrounding the recall had largely focused on endorsement and Spilsbury's break from political party loyalty. Spilsbury is registered as a Republican. The effort received support from Turning Point Action, including hosting a volunteer form on its website for the recall effort. Taylor is originally from Florida and moved to Mesa in 2008, she told the Republic in an email. She has a Bachelor of Science in Psychology from the University of Phoenix. Taylor previously worked as a business analyst and training coordinator for an East Coast-based school and later a local automotive company. Currently, she owns a remodeling business with her husband, she said. Taylor is a registered Republican and has been registered to vote in Arizona since 2009, according to voter registration data. Records showed she has voted consistently in general elections since 2010. Taylor said the recall organizers did not approach her to run, but District 2 residents did after she spoke at a council meeting against utility rate increases. It was an issue that galvanized residents to push back against the annual rate increases. At the November 18 meeting, Taylor addressed the council and demanded they vote no on the rate change, stating the 5% increase was not affordable for Mesa residents, and stated the council worked for them, the taxpayers. Taylor took an issue with Spilsbury at the same meeting for her endorsement. I would really appreciate it if you would stop telling your neighbors to take down their Trump sign, Taylor said during public comment, which was met with resounding applause. The comment was a reference to a Los Angeles Times story that highlighted Spilsbury as a Republican Harris supporter and detailed the neighborhood dispute over a Trump campaign sign. More recently, in April, Taylor spoke out against the city's non-discrimination ordinance that was passed in 2021, which offered protections for the LGBTQ plus community in Mesa. It was a controversial topic that year and faced a referendum effort. Taylor stated the non-discrimination ordinance was unnecessary, criticized the council for passing it, and asked it to be repealed. She said if she were elected to the council, her priorities would include affordability as well as the city services, including water and street maintenance, among others. I will do my best to be their voice by reading every proposal, listening to residents' input, and proactively reaching out to my constituents. And that story was Political Newcomer Aims to Unseat Mesa Council Member in Recall Election. The next story, Shark Tale, August Dive-In Movie in Apache Junction. Shark Tale is the August dive-in movie at Superstition Shadows Aquatic Center in Apache Junction. It'll be shown 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Saturday, August 9 at the Aquatic Center, 1091 West Southern Avenue in Apache Junction. Bring a beach blanket or lawn chair. Entry fee is $3 per person at the gate. No pre-registration. All children age 7 and under must be within arm's reach of an adult at all times. All flotation devices must be Coast Guard approved and no glass will be allowed. It states at https://www.facebook.com/AJParksandRec/events. Movies are presented by SRP. In the event of bad weather prior to movie time, the program could possibly be moved to the Apache Junction Multi-Generational Center. For information on this program or other programs and services, call the Apache Junction Parks and Recreation Department at 480-983-2181 or go to https://www.apachejunctionaz.gov/111/parks-recreation. And that story was Shark Tale, August dive-in movie in Apache Junction. The next story, man gets out of prison early after Mesa Walmart bug spray prank. A TikTok creator who sprayed pesticide over food at a Mesa Walmart and was sentenced to a year in prison is now out on parole. Charles Smith, 28, known on social media as Wolfie Coletti, pleaded guilty in April and was sentenced June 24 for one count of adding poison or another harmful substance with 183 days of jail credit, according to court documents. Smith told the Arizona Republic he was released July 14, which state prison records confirmed as the start of his parole date. Smith said he initially understood he would be released August 16. To Smith's surprise, he was released following 2 days at the Red Rock Correctional Center in Eloy, he said. His parole ends August 16, Smith added. I was really confused because I thought I was going to be there for a little bit longer than that, Smith said. Smith said his lawyer told him he would serve 30 days at another state prison. According to Smith, fellow Red Rock inmates educated him, explaining his 6-month jail time on a 1-year sentence meant he would get an early release. Smith had already received probation for criminal damage and solicitation to commit burglary, court documents said. The December 19, 2024 incident was uploaded to Smith's TikTok and Instagram accounts and showed him grabbing a can of Hot Shot Ultra Bed Bug and Flea Killer off a shelf at the Walmart at Stapley Drive and Baseline Road before he sprayed a large quantity of yams, lemons, and other produce and rotisserie chicken, according to charging documents. I was not intentionally trying to poison people, even though it seems that way. That was part of the prank. The prank just went too far, Smith said. Smith told the Republic he intended to immediately discard the items, but left the store after he spotted what he suspected were plainclothes security guards eyeing him near the exit. He managed to leave but returned shortly after and collected the affected goods away from shoppers and brought them to the back of the store, Smith said. His account matched what was described by police in a probable cause statement. There was no way in hell I was going to leave that there, Smith said. A private investigator Smith hired reviewed the surveillance footage and told him no customers had picked up the food, he said. Walmart removed remaining goods worth $931, court documents said. Smith admitted to theft and the pesticide spraying after Mesa police identified him as a suspect and reached out to him, according to police. His TikTok banned, Smith said he is not looking to return to the social media platform. He does intend on creating positive content on social media. He insisted he is a changed person from half a year ago and now spends most of his time studying at the library. I would advise other content creators not to do any harmful pranks and not to harm anybody, Smith said, adding that others should not emulate his actions. Please do not do that. Just be nice to people. Smith was aware of the notoriety his videos received. Always believe in change because change is definitely possible, and that's something that I'm experiencing right now, Smith said. And that story was man gets out of prison early after Mesa Walmart bug spray prank. The next story, $30,000 grant sought for Apache Junction, Santan Valley Boys and Girls Clubs. A request to authorize the submission of a grant application by Boys and Girls Club of the Valley for $30,000 for program activities was approved recently by the Pinal County Board of Supervisors. Boys and Girls Club of the Valley sponsors 2 clubs serving Pinal County youth, the Superstition Mountain Club in Apache Junction and Santan Heights Club in Santan Valley. It states in a written grant application narrative. The supervisors voted unanimously July 2 on a consent agenda with other items to approve a resolution seeking the funding from the Akchin Indian Community Shared Revenue Program and for Pinal County to serve as the fiscal agent. The grant would support program activities January 1 to December 31, 2026, at clubs in Pinal County. Boys and Girls Club of the Valley President and CEO Marcia Mintz said in an application. The Boys and Girls Club of the Valley serves youth ages 5 to 18 in Pinal County clubs, with 48% from families living below 150% of the federal poverty level, 47% identifying as persons of color, and 56% living with a single parent or adults other than a parent, she said in the application. Funding is requested to support development programming for youth ages 5 through 18, concentrating on their academic success, healthy lifestyles, good character and leadership, and career pathways and workforce readiness, Mintz said. That story was a $30,000 grant sought for Apache Junction, Santan Valley Boys and Girls Clubs. You're listening to East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. The next story, Mesa Rangers in Goon Squad raked in top 10 overtime pay in 2024 in Metro Phoenix. Mesa Park Rangers involved in the Goon Squad investigation were paid in overtime up to 19 times more than the median for full-time park rangers across seven of Metro Phoenix's biggest cities. Three of the rangers who were disciplined for misconduct were in the top 10 most paid rangers in overtime across the valley. Seven park rangers were placed on leave in April, including two who later resigned after an investigation into allegations of criminal activity and wrongdoing, including using racial slurs and targeting homeless people. That included lead ranger Joshua Amado, who was arrested by Mesa Police 5 days before he resigned in April. Documents provided to the Arizona Republic showed lead ranger Brandon Montez, ranger Charles Miller, and ranger supervisor Brett Burton were also placed on leave. New details emerged from a 60-page police report, personnel records, training documents, disciplinary actions, and human resource complaints, which the Arizona Republic obtained with a public records request. Here's what was found. The Republic collected, standardized, and analyzed payroll data across cities around the state. Data showed across seven valley cities that there were 158 full-time employees with a park ranger job title. The median overtime pay for those rangers was $567. Here's how much the three Goon Squad park rangers made in overtime pay in 2024. Amato, $10,648. Miller, $8,973. And Montez, $6,369. Amato made the third most in overtime across seven cities in Metro Phoenix behind two Phoenix park rangers. Miller ranked fifth and Montez ranked ninth. For 2024, Mesa Rangers made a total of $65,567 in overtime pay. Amato, Miller, and Montez accounted for nearly 40% of the total overtime bill for the 16-member unit. Mesa's Parks and Recreation Department's overtime authorization process requires direct supervisor approval and documentation of justification, according to the city. Since Burton, the unit's supervisor, is on leave, the city was limited in its ability to access the detailed records necessary to provide a report for last year's overtime patterns, the city told the Republic in an email. Mesa Ranger overtime was made up 7% of pay for fiscal year 2025, which began July 2024 and ended June 2025, the city stated. January had the most overtime hours, amounting to 270 hours, according to data provided by the city. That cost the city $16,303. In total, during the first fiscal year ending in June 2025, the seven park rangers' departments billed more than 1,650 hours of overtime. Overtime hours significantly decreased in May and June after the park rangers unit was investigated and members were placed on leave. Seven Mesa rangers were placed on leave in April after a police investigation that found allegations of misconduct, including targeting black or homeless people with violence, which they called gooning, to mean dealing with the homeless problem, the city confirmed to the Arizona Republic. A 60-page police report found a group of park rangers kept an unreported stolen firearm, used racial slurs and inappropriate use of force, and shared a Goon Squad patch. The allegations came to light after a rookie ranger reported the firearm to Mesa Police, which set in motion an investigation. A second internal investigation was also launched by the city. Amato was arrested on April 22, on suspicion of possession of a stolen firearm. He was put on leave on April 12, a day after the firearm was reported, according to the city, prompting an internal investigation. He sent a letter of resignation to the Parks and Recreation Department on April 28. Mesa police referred the case for prosecution, but the Maricopa County Attorney's Office declined to file charges, saying the case lacked a reasonable chance of conviction. After the police investigation, at least 7 park rangers were placed on leave or resigned, including a second ranger who quit in May. The departures make up nearly half of the 16-person team. City records show Charles Miller and Montez were placed on administrative leave in April, as was Burton a week later. Records provided to the Republic did not identify the other 3 rangers who were placed on administrative leave, nor the second ranger who resigned. Burton began with the city in 2017 and worked his way up from a park ranger, his personnel documents showed. In May 2023, he was made a park ranger supervisor. He was praised by the department's executive team for his leadership in his most recent review in June 2024. Some rangers interviewed by Mesa Police in April questioned the team's leadership. Veteran ranger Robert Shutnick, who had been a Mesa Park Ranger for 27 years, told police things were getting out of control since Amato had joined the unit. He told investigators he thought Burton swept most things under the rug and even empowered them to go beyond the scope of their job, the police report stated. He also told police he didn't trust that Burton would actually take care of any incidents that were brought up by the rookie ranger. 6 months before police investigated the city's rangers unit, 3 Goon Squad rangers were promoted to leadership positions or given raises. Amato was hired in October 23 and, 2 weeks shy of his 1-year anniversary, was promoted from ranger to lead park ranger, as was Montez. Both started with the rangers on the same day. The 2 were hired at the same time along with Charles Miller, city documents showed. Amato's direct supervisor praised Amato in his first annual performance review. Brian Miller called Amato a seasoned enforcer and stated he had no doubt Amato would continue to thrive in the role. He wrote, Amato takes initiative on his daily patrols and looks for opportunities in the field that maintain safety and security for the people of Mesa on a daily basis. Personnel records reviewed the ranger's prior work experience. All 4 men placed on leave previously worked for the Arizona Department of Corrections, Rehabilitation, and Reentry. For 6 years between 2015 and 2021, Montez worked as a sergeant for the Corrections Department in Safford. He described his role as managing inmates, supervising officers on shift, and training staff. The remaining 3 men worked at the Florence facility. Burton worked there for about 17 months as a corrections officer in 2016 and 2017. Amato was a corrections officer for 5 years, employed in Florence between 2017 and 2022. His time overlapped with Miller, who also worked as a corrections officer from 2020 to 2023. 2 months before Mesa Police first investigated the unreported gun, the city received an anonymous complaint to its fraud and ethics hotline. The anonymous tipster blamed a new city policy for almost getting 2 park rangers killed and stated a criminal died due to the changes. The complaint stated Parks Department leadership did not properly plan or train park rangers when policy changes went into effect. The tip was in response to a memo the city issued 2 months earlier. In November, the city attorney's office police legal advisor sent a memorandum detailing how police officers should respond to a park ranger calls for service. It was unclear what incident the tipster was referring to. The city attorney and park leadership have created a dangerous situation for park rangers, the tipster wrote. Mesa park rangers are required to provide a pleasant, safe park environment by being approachable and respectful, the operations manual states. Rangers do not have police powers to arrest people, nor to search and seize private property. They carry stun guns, pepper spray, nightsticks, and handcuffs. Reasonable force may be used to protect personal safety or the safety of other persons, the manual states. Rangers can detain people and write citations. They may dispose of alcohol, and the policies say they should log and impound seized property, but the manual is silent about searching private belongings. It states that Rangers are to contact city police for issues that exceed the scope of duties, including conducting well-being checks on intoxicated people. Mesa launched two separate investigations, one police probe into possible crimes against homeless people and another personnel review looking into alleged misconduct. Both remain ongoing. That story was Mesa Rangers in Goon Squad raked in top 10 overtime pay in 2024 in Metro Phoenix. The next story, Healing Vigil in Apache Junction marks Domestic Violence Awareness Month. A healing vigil to commence Domestic Violence Awareness Month will be held in September in Apache Junction. The event, hosted by CAAFA and A New Leaf, will be Saturday, September 27, at Prospector Park, 3015 North Idaho Road in Apache Junction. For more information, including the time of the event, contact the Community Engagement Coordinator, ATMLASATER, at turnanewleaf.org. Go to https://turnanewleaf.org. That story was Healing Vigil in Apache Junction marks Domestic Violence Awareness Month. The next story, historic family-owned Metro Phoenix seafood restaurant closing after 34 years. Seafood Market and Restaurant on Baseline Road is closing on July 22 after 34 years. According to a July 19 Facebook announcement, owner Pablo Reynoso is ready to retire. For over 30 years, Pablo has dedicated himself to providing fresh, flavorful seafood and creating a place where the community could gather and enjoy great meals. We are deeply grateful for your support and loyalty throughout the years. People's reactions ranged from sharing memories to sadness. Some posted photos of old newspaper clippings about the owners. Wow, what a hard one to handle, wrote Michael Allen Lutz. The best seafood in Arizona. Some of the best times of my life happened there. Great working for a great man. Pablo Reynoso first opened his restaurant in 1991 on Southern Avenue, earning praise from the Republic's food critic at the time. The location changed over the years until it landed at its current spot on Baseline Road. In 2004, Seafood Market and Restaurant made the Republic's Best Of list for Best Seafood Market. I'm closing the restaurant, said Pablo Reynoso. I've been working for years. I'm old. I'm tired. Pablo Jr. plans to offer some of his father's most popular dishes at his own restaurant, SoCal Fish Taco Company, at 219 North Gilbert Road in Gilbert. And that story was historic family-owned Metro Phoenix seafood restaurant closing after 34 years. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. You can also take SunSounds with you by getting our streaming and on-demand service on our new SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones, and you can hear SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on SunSounds of Arizona.